Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, fellow gamers. You're listening to the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast, and we are ecstatic to have you here with us for This Week in Gaming. On Thursdays like today, we break down recent gaming news that we found the most interesting. If you haven't already done so, please take a second to rate our show 5 stars and leave us a written review. Also, if you want to help support the show, you can do so on Patreon. We do rely on listener support to keep our lights on, and supporters also get access to bonus episodes twice every single month. You can sign up over at multiplayersquad.com. I am your host, Paul, and joining me, he's getting ready for that Overwatch Battle Pass grind to 55 next season, so that way he can become a shapeshifter tank on behalf of the Omnix. It's Josh.
I am actually not, Paul, because out of all the Overwatch that I have been playing, which is a fair amount, I hit level 59 last night.
Oh,
and
nice.
That is a lot of playtime to unlock. How many weeks character, is that? Dude, I don't know. When did it release?
It's a few weeks.
October something, right? Yep. Level 55 is too far along in the battle pass before you unlock a new character.
Yeah. It's pretty far down the road.
Yeah.
Alternatively, Josh, you just gotta pay them those sweet, sweet dollars, yeah, and you can get it right away.
That ain't happening either.
And joining me and Josh, he is using a flashlight, his favorite mechanic in video games, to explore a creepy abandoned warehouse before screaming and getting killed by Hideo Kojima's newest creation. It's Michael.
I really wonder what's more effective, the flashlight on Manscaped's products like the Lawnmower 2.0 or a video game flashlight. I'm going to say it's probably the video game flashlight, but only by a hair.
I see what you did there, Michael. Yeah. Very nice. All right. So, guys, we have a lot of news to cover here today. I'm hoping we get to cover all of it here in our allotted time. But let's start things out with Atomic Heart. All right, now, this is a game that we have talked a lot about in our Discord, which, by the way, if you want to join, there's a link in the episode description, totally free to join. And we've talked about it a little bit with one another, but I don't think we've really even mentioned it very much on the pod. If there's anyone out there that is not aware of Atomic Heart, it is a first-person shooter in an alternate timeline in 1955 Soviet Union. You get to craft weapons by piecing together metal parts from robots and household appliances. And the news this week is that we got a release date trailer, and IGN also gave us a 10-minute exclusive boss fight gameplay video. Now, Josh, you've been the one that's been the most vocal about this in Discord. I get the sense that you're pretty hyped about this one.
Atomic Heart may be the game that is gaining the fastest momentum on my hype train. Believe it or not, I mean, there's some upcoming games that we're already excited about. You know, Callisto Protocol, High on Life, we're about to dive into God of War Ragnarok. There's all these games that we know and hope are going to be great. But Atomic Heart has, I feel like, quietly flown under the radar for a little bit. But every video that I see on Atomic Heart just makes me go, wow, is that actually going to be the game? Because go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what is it about Atomic Heart that you find so appealing?
Dude, the graphics are incredible. They're clean, they're crisp, but I love it's got this super, like weird art style to it. Like it's almost photorealistic in a way. Like the graphics are super good, but that's not what sets it off. What sets it off to me is like the vibes that I get from it. And I mentioned this the other day when this trailer came out, like I'm getting Half-Life vibes, I'm getting Dishonored vibes, and I'm getting a little bit of BioShock vibes. Mm-hmm. And those are three games that when you say any of those three, people's ears perk up because they go like, yeah, man, those games are great. And I'm getting like a little bit of all three from this, man. They've got creepy, weird robot things. It's futuristic, but then it's not because you're swinging an axe sometimes and stuff like that. Like everything's super clean and shiny. It's almost like this weird sterile environment, but then the graphics really offset all that stuff. They have shown, I think at this point, two or three boss fights across like the multiple videos that they've done. Everything is just jiving with me from what I see on this game.
Yeah, the Hammond on steroids boss fight that I watched earlier was pretty cool. One of the things I liked about it, though, is that video, the IGN video, they showed you like, I think it was like seven or eight different attempts on the boss.
Yeah.
And they were using different weapons each time. Like, I think the first time it was the guy just tried to melee this giant metal sphere. And so it looks like the game is actually allowing you to kind of tailor your playstyle a little bit, which is not something I expected from this game at all. Again, I don't know how far they're going to go into that. If it's like one where it's like, hey, if you want to melee, you can just melee and put points into that or whatever. But it was cool to see that in a quick example of a boss fight. Also, I'm with Josh. Graphics look great. Like they look fantastic. They look good. I like the way the collisions happen. Like, you know, when you see an axe hitting the big metal sphere, you can feel it, kind of like what I talked about with Elden Ring. Like it looks like it's very, the physics are very well fleshed out. And so I got some hope for this. I was not anywhere near the hype train level that Josh was, but I'm quickly kind of heating up on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched all the major trailers that have come out over the last couple years, and I remember this one got announced, I don't know, about 5 years ago, and there were some issues somewhere around 2018 or 2019. I think they, like, let a bunch of staff go, or maybe it was all the higher-ups quit. They had to, like, kind of restart a lot of things. So I kind of feel like this one's been a long time coming. My biggest worry is I kind of feel like this has written all over it, amazing trailers. And then when it releases, I just don't know that it's going to match and look quite as good as in these trailers. Of course, they're running all these on supercomputers. It's all rendered beautifully. I mean, every trailer for Atomic Heart looks absolutely gorgeous. I'm a little hesitant on this one. I feel like it could end up just being a shiny exterior. And once it releases, I hope it's not. But I kind of get that sense of like Biomutant, where it's got awesome ideas,
oh,
and then once it
that.
Releases, it's bad.
Don't say that, Paul.
That's I'm not saying that'll be the case. I'm saying that's my worry.
Great comparison for a game that could flop but look great. You know,
so you guys actually thought the boss fight looked really fun? I thought it looked really mundane.
What? This ball is amazing.
All right, it's 10 minutes. And like Michael said, it is several attempts, so you see the player die multiple times. But like 80% of this video is staring at a spinning sphere that rushes towards you, and then you just sidestep it. And it's just over and over and over. And there's a little bit of playing jump rope with fire. And other than that, I don't know, I kind of felt like I want to see a little more like interaction. I felt like the boss really only had two, maybe three attacks. It seemed a little simplistic.
I disagree completely, man. This ball going crazy, spinning around in circles super fast, like leaping in the air at you. It'll dive at you. And this thing's fast, man. Like, I've never seen a death ball. Like, Michael cracked me up. I mean, Hammond on steroids. This is what I envision, like, Hammond wishes he could be, you know? But it's like this thing comes at you super fast. It's got all these different abilities. It shows that it spins around and sucks you in. It like pounds the ground and sends out shockwaves. It tries to run you over. And what I liked about the video is the guy dies three or four times. And every time he dies, it plays like a little cartoony, like almost like a Fallout. I got like Fallout vibes from it with like the Pip-Boy and stuff, where it shows the ball like flattening you. And then it's kind of like, hey, watch out for getting run over. And then like you die to the shockwaves. And it's like, hey, you're going to get vaporized if these shockwaves hit you. I thought the boss fight looked great.
We also learned that apparently the word nomep or nomep means nomep. Iggy dead again.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that one a few times.
I don't know. I kind of see where you're coming from on this, Paul. But at the same point, I kind of see it as being like a bit of a puzzle almost. Like you're supposed to do more with this boss and they don't want to reveal it. And they're just trying to show off like, I don't know, I guess in your case, how mundane the boss is. But I
just a lot
it.
Of dodging.
It is a lot of dodging, but I don't think every fight in this game is going to be like that. Also, it's possible that maybe the guy who was playing this was just really, really good, and he was dodging a lot.
Maybe. We'll see. You know, I don't know. It's kind of common to have a boss rush, and you sidestep, and you see the glowy things that you shoot on the backside. I don't know that I'm seeing anything all that revolutionary there. It's going to come down to the weapons that you get to craft and how much they actually allow you to do that. If that all gets knocked out of the water, then I'll be ecstatic. I mean, this is a kind of game that I would never buy apart from the podcast.
Really?
It's just not really my style, so don't listen to me anyway. I'm not gonna be hyped.
You don't like Half-Life?
You don't I get love
like
Half-Life.
Or Dishonest? Like, cause like, we didn't even talk about the guy has abilities too.
Dishonest.
Or Dishonored, yeah. Dishonored.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Dishonored fan.
Really?
So, I do love BioShock. Man. Yeah.
See, but there and again, the abilities from like where the guy can freeze things and he can heal himself,
lightning,
I think is what he's doing, like lightning shocks on top of the weapons. Like the other stuff is just, I love like little details when the little ball goes spinning through the ground, like all the leaves kick up behind him and stuff like that. Like there's just so many little things like that that catch my eye and just go like, this game looks really neat. Now, maybe the gunplay is terrible. That would be what would ruin this game, is if the gunplay just sucks. But then one of the things I liked about this boss fight video is that they showed, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 different weapons, you know what I mean, at that time. And it's kind of like, can you craft all those? Are you only going to be able to fight this thing with a pistol and the battle axe? Like at that point in the game, I don't know. But I like that they showed off the different capabilities as well.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our second story here of the week. We're going to get into a little bit of leaked gameplay footage. Ooh. I love stories like this. I love when we get leaked footage of GTA 6. This time, what we got here was gameplay footage from what seems to be Project Overdose, which is from Hideo Kojima, the famous designer you've probably heard of. He is responsible for the Metal Gear Solid games. He's responsible for Death Stranding. And this next game, we don't know too much about, except that it does feature actor Margaret Qualley. And what we see here in the leaked footage is that it does appear to be some kind of survival horror game. We see use of flashlights. We see use of running and hiding, screaming, death, that kind of stuff. But we don't see a whole lot here. So I was kind of curious to get your guys' take. What stuck out to you in this footage?
Yeah, so clearly an early test. Like you can tell that when the character's walking around, when you see like a red dot on the screen, you know that there's actually probably supposed to be a big bad there or something, but really we just see the character reacting to it. I think with what little we can see from the graphics, right, because it's a cell phone video of a guy who is shirtless, by the way, recording his television. Yeah, that's what I wanted to see today. But what we could tell, though, a little bit, like the shading looked really good. It looked like, you know, overall, like the graphics looked like they were, even though it was early, they'd put a lot of work into making it look a little more realistic. That being said, I've never really played a lot of scary games, and this one does look like I want to stay away from it because it looks really scary. So I'm scared a little bit.
It looks very realistic. Like this is how people would react in that. The animations and like the way that she runs around a corner and tries to hide in the office and then kind of like lets her guard down thinking she's safe. And then all of a sudden she just screams and it says game over. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Two things that stood out to me on this. One was good, one was bad. The good one was the graphics looked incredible. And the camera angle, they did something neat. That part that you talk about, Paul, she's obviously like sees something and is walking away from something or trying to escape something. And she goes and she ducks behind like a counter in a kitchen. I got like Jurassic Park vibes from that when they're hiding from the raptor, right? Or the T-Rex or whatever it was. And it's like the camera is looking like it's over her shoulder, but then it pans around and like changes perspective as she's hiding. And now you're looking at like the front of her. And I was like, well, that's kind of a neat way to do that, to change up the angle and stuff like that. The only thing that I saw that concerned me a little bit was there was these red pulses on the screen that would kind of say like, hey, there's a monster or there's a sound or something.
Yeah, and
nothing is verifying this, but that almost looks like QuickTime events, like about to happen. You know what I mean? Like you always see like the pulse circle and then it's like press Q or something like that. I don't know if that's the case, but like those were very intrusive. Like I don't know what the point of those was. One time it pulsed and then a light flickered and you could see the monster like over her shoulder, but I'm like, like why are you pointing that out to me? Like what is the purpose of that? Am I hearing sound? I don't know. Like it just kind of killed the suspense a little bit because I'm like, oh, look right here. Oh, yep, there's a monster.
I think those were just early placeholders. I think that's all it was. I think it was a placeholder for something happening on the screen that the developers hadn't put in the game yet. Because it would have, you're right, it would have been far too frequent for a QuickTime event, and it would have really seemed kind of janky in this kind of game. Like if that was, if we're running away and they've got this heightened suspense and we don't really have control, we're basically QTEing a cutscene, that would not have worked. I saw it as kind of like when we saw the leak from GTA, that this is like all the arrows and stuff pointing around, except this was a lot more cleaned up and it just basically shows like, hey, something's happening here, over here, that's why there's the red pulse, because it didn't look natural, and I couldn't imagine that this would be the direction they would go with this game, especially from such a heralded creator.
Yeah. So this one we still just don't really know very much about. We do know that Kojima is working on a title with Xbox, which is supposed to be exclusive to Xbox consoles. So some people seem pretty convinced that this is that project. We'll have to wait and see. The last thing I'll mention, I don't know if you guys noticed, but not only is the video a guy holding his camera up to a monitor, but inside the video, there's a picture in picture showing a lady playing the game. And she seems to be on a mobile device.
Yeah.
So a lot of people kind of pointed out maybe they're just like trying to test cloud-based gaming, whether or not you could also play it on mobile. I don't get the sense that this is going to be a high-action shooting kind of game. It's going to be very much sneak around. It looks like it's going to play with sound and things of that nature, which is right up my alley. So this is much more up my alley than Atomic Heart, even though this appears to still be very early in development and nowhere near release yet.
So Josh could be completely right here, and this could be a mobile game, and those could be QuickTime events, in which case I'm passing.
Or you tap it to highlight, you know, to shine your light on that. Now, that is one of the things. There is some speculation that based on this article that it is going to be a cloud-based game, which means that you can play it on your phone because you don't need the hardware to do that. And a lot of this video did look like it was sort of like engineered for a mobile device in that regard, in which case I'm 100% out on this if this is the case. Yeah. I just can't see Hideo Kojima making a mobile only game. Like I would hate to see that, to be honest with you.
All right, well, we're gonna take a short break and we'll be right back with some more multiplayer gaming podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay, we are back. Now, the next news story here is in regards to Overwatch. Overwatch 2 keeps popping up in these Twig episodes week after week, but what are we going to do? They're the biggest game out right now. It's free to play. It just released. And in conjunction with the Overwatch League Grand Finals, they showed a reveal of the next hero that's going to be released. It is a tank named Ramattra. And I was a little sad to see another tank. I'd love to see another healer, but I know we just got Kuriko, so I wasn't too terribly surprised. We don't yet know too much about Ramattra other than some lore stuff that they had with an Origin video. Really, for the most part, as far as gameplay goes, what we do know is that it'll be a shape-shifting tank that'll have basically two modes. It'll have a default mode and a nemesis mode. What about Ramattra did you guys find interesting, or what do you want to talk about?
I think it's interesting that it seems like he's going to be another one of those mobile tanks. If I read what little I got from this is that it's not a shield based. It's not going to be, you know, so much of like a move the payload type. It's going to be more of maybe kind of like a dive comp type where you're going to roll in there, do some smacking around, go in the nemesis mode. Is that what it's called? Because that sounds extra scary. I want to experience nemesis mode. That sounds terrifying. But that's kind of what I got from it. You don't see a whole lot really from the articles. It's just that it's going to be a tank and it seems like he's more mobile. Did you guys get the same thing?
Maybe. They did say that in the Omnic mode that he will have a barrier and a long range spear. I don't even really know what that means. They said you'll fight at distance using this like purple spear of his. So I don't know if he's going to throw it almost like Orisa's javelin, or if it's going to like shoot out a pulse, like a laser that's long range
shoots,
or something.
It is like a staff, but it shoots things out of the staff. So you don't,
okay, that makes
you don't
more
hurl
sense.
The staff. What's funny is on this, it's like, hey, Ramattra's revealed. And if you go to YouTube, it's like Ramattra and all abilities revealed. And then it's like you click the, you know, because I'm doing my homework, right? And it's like, they don't know what his abilities are.
No, there's no video of the abilities.
But every single title is Ramattra and abilities. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see these. I want like five videos, man. And none of the videos don't say you have abilities if you don't have abilities.
Moreover, it's Ramattra and name of one of his abilities, Nemesis. That's it. That's what you get.
I did finally find a video that had a couple screen grabs of like him and his staff or the icons for the abilities, which was finally like, okay, we do have some sort of confirmation here on what these are. The Nemesis mode sounds really neat. He kind of sprouts two extra sets of arms. He gets really big, apparently. And then
he's General Grievous.
Yeah, okay. And then he can punch. So he becomes, we think, like a melee character. And what they're saying is that his punches can pierce through barriers. So this sounds like a great Ryan counter to me, because Ryan can't just sit there and hold his shield up. Sigma or something like that. Maybe that sounds to be what they're going for on that. But then he becomes big, so he's a lot easier to shoot at the same time. Another ability that I thought sounded really neat was he puts up this like a slow like cylinder thing to where it slows down the other team when they're inside that. So that sounded neat. That kind of reminds me of like Sojourn's ball thing, but just in a cylinder instead of a sphere. They're really mixing this up, guys, with the shapes here.
When you have 36 characters, you're going to have a little bit of overlap.
Right.
It's like, this is not the same ability. That one's a circle. This one's a cylinder.
I love the idea of a shapeshifter in Overwatch. Like, it's kind of hard to come up with a brand new idea when there are already 35 existing characters. So the idea of shapeshifting makes perfect sense to me. And I love the idea of being able to do long range and up close and not sacrifice one or the other. Like, if you play as D.Va, you can't do anything from distance. Winston, you're completely useless at distance. Right. So having the idea of like a hybrid that can work with both, I think is pretty cool. I will say that when you're enormous, it's gonna be very easy for Ana to hit you with those sleep darts. So I feel like Ana more and more is becoming like a really necessary counter to a lot of these tanks. But I guess ultimately I can't say I really care all that much, because I don't think I'm ever gonna play as Ramattra, because there's no way I'm dropping $10, and I'm still, I believe, level 39 in the battle pass for Overwatch 2. So I don't know that I see myself ever unlocking Ramattra.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I'm getting Paul, you're being done with Overwatch 2 is rubbing off on me a little bit. The only time I have the desire to log in is if I'm playing with my daughter and like and her friends at this point.
That's exactly where I'm at. Like, if honestly, friends are on, great.
Yeah, and then like otherwise, but they're ruining it. And I get that they have to make money. I get like this. There's just, you know, there's so many things right now, right? Like, they have to make money at this game, but I hate the level 55 for a new character. I don't care about cosmetics, so none of that other battle pass stuff bothers me one bit, but I hate that you're going to put a character and then make me play. I've been playing a good bit, man. This is not like I've been slacking on Overwatch 2, right. And I just hit level 59. Like, you're telling me all of that playtime I just now would have unlocked a character? Like, that aggravates me. And then what's funny about this is, not to go off on an Overwatch 2 rant, Overwatch 2 is Overwatch 1. How do you keep screwing up all the characters? They had to take Bastion out. Now May is out. They had to remove Torbjorn. It's like, dude, like, it's literally the same game that has been out for years. How do you screw up all these characters all of a sudden? Like, there's just a lot of things that are going wrong for Overwatch 2 right now. And it's like, the game itself is not worth, like, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, I don't get it.
And the weird thing about Overwatch 2, the things that we've seen characters be removed for, it's not like it's problems that exist because of Overwatch 2. Like, oh, you know what? This character just doesn't work with the 5v5 format. No, it's that May's Wall, which has been around for, what, 4 or 5 years now, just doesn't work right. Like, how do we let that get through testing? I feel like the Ramattra... Is that his name again?
Yeah.
Ramattra.
Like that was the bit of kind of okay news, and then we're back to more bad news about Overwatch 2. It's like, well, we're moving another character because we broke it.
Yeah.
Why is it broken?
Every week there's a new character that's out. So yeah, May is on a 2-week suspension, which, by the way, I don't know how it takes 2 weeks to fix an ice wall issue. You would think with as big of a team as they have, you could knock it out in a couple days at most, but I guess they take them down for 2 weeks to fix and test. And hopefully we'll have May back soon. Not that it really matters, since she kind of sucks in Overwatch 2 anyway. But all right, well, let's move on to our last story of the week. We got a couple minutes left here. I did think that we needed to return to a short conversation about The Last of Us after our last bonus round episode. We talked about the fact that The Last of Us is the second most acclaimed game in the 2010s, only behind Breath of the Wild for being on the most best of the decade lists. And I decided to pick it up again because I have not played a game on console in years. God of War Ragnarok is around the corner. I didn't want to go back into console completely cold after years on end. So I fired up The Last of Us and just to, you know, shake off the dust on my PS5. And as much as I always knew I loved the opening 20 minutes of The Last of Us, it's the best 20 minutes ever in a video game. I'm 100% convinced. It's the best opening 20 minutes. I played it with my wife, who knows nothing about The Last of Us. She was so riveted. She was like yelling and asking questions and shouting the whole time. And it was absolutely thrilling to play it with her because she's like, why'd the dog stop barking? What's going on? What's outside the house? What's that explosion? Wait, are these zombies? Are they fast zombies? They're not going to kill Tommy, right? And it was like the whole 20 minutes are so fantastic. And we know that they're adapting it for an HBO series coming out in January. And I think that this game is going to translate really well to TV. I can't wait for this to come out. I think it's really setting up for success, not only because it's a great story, but it also has a fantastic cast. I assume all of us are huge fans of Pedro Pascal.
Oh, yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
He's the Mandalorian. If you watched Game of Thrones, he's Prince Oberyn. He is playing Joel. And then the person playing Ellie is an actor who's also from Game of Thrones. Her name is Bella Ramsey, and she played Lyanna Mormont. She was like the young child who was one of the leaders in the North.
She's awesome.
Awesome.
Well,
she was.
She meets an interesting fate.
She might get squished by a giant. But yeah, I think that The Last of Us on TV is going to work really well in a 10-episode series. I normally don't get excited about video game adaptations. Do you guys think this one might have legs, or do you think it's destined to just be another really terrible Resident Evil type show?
I think it has legs 100%. There's too much behind it, too many acclaimed showrunners and so forth. Pedro Pascal, we mentioned that already. Anything he touches probably is... They could literally just have a whole season of Mandalorian where all he does is walk around in the suit, and I'd be like, that's the best show ever just because Pedro Pascal's in it. Okay, maybe I'm giving him a little bit too much credit, but honestly, I was really skeptical about this because of the casting. I thought it was, okay, it's an HBO fest. We're just regurgitating Game of Thrones actors and so forth. They don't really fit the characters. But Pedro Pascal's wonderful, right? He's not Joel. He's not Joel at all. But then I watched the preview and I'm like, all right, I'm buying it. They give him the silver hair, the salt and pepper look. He's got a little bit more of a different tone than what you normally see him speak in, a little bit of that. But then, you know, of course, there's that one part right in the middle of the trailer where you hear the chittering from the faceless monsters.
Yeah,
that when
clickers.
They touch you, you're dead no matter what. And I was like, this is, they're nailing the feeling of this, which I think is a really good start.
That might be, I might have to edit that. that might sound censored. They are clickers.
I tried to
click
it together.
Clickers.
The chitterers. The chitterers. Clickers. Ah, whatever.
It might have sounded like something else there. It sounded a little biological.
And then I saw a little feminine. To laugh
Happy
too.
Thursday, everyone.
Oh, man.
Oh. Oh, man. So anyone out there who's a big Last of Us fan, this will be a series that debuts on January 15th. I had zero desire to check out the Halo TV show. There's been a lot along the way I didn't really care about. This is actually one that I'll dial up and watch. I like this one.
I will say this. You know, maybe I need to, Paul, when I borrow your PlayStation or Michael's, maybe I just need to borrow Last of Us and give it a second chance too. You know what I mean? At that point. But the show, with me having some knowledge of Last of Us, the show looks incredible. Like, honestly, the way that it's filmed, the quality of the acting and the cinematography and stuff like that looks really well done. And if I knew nothing about The Last of Us, this show would have my attention. I'm actually really liking this trend that we're seeing where you don't have to be a mega fan of something for them to produce quality content. Andor is the phenomenal example of Star Wars where you don't have to, you could care one whit about Star Wars, mm-hmm. and Andor is an incredible show. And I feel like Last of Us is going that route as well. Like, even if you don't care about the video game, the show itself on its own looks like it is top notch. And so I don't have HBO, but I might wind up having to get it or get somebody's password.
I'll text
for
you
it.
Password.
Yeah, you know, yeah, so I can watch this because it looks really, really good.
Yeah, you made a really good point, Josh, as well. And I won't spend much time on this, but as far as the feel and the look, there's a couple spots in the trailer where you see something blowing up in the background and it feels just like the first 20 minutes of the game where mm-hmm. it's the same look, the same feel, the same, not overly shaky cam, but that same perspective. And it's like they did their homework.
Yeah, and there's little moments too, like they intentionally show Joel's watch, and so it's like, don't worry, all those things you remember from the game, it's all going to be built into the show. So I think that one's definitely worth checking out if you have a way to access
comes
HBO.
Out in January.
Yeah,
right?
January 15th.
Yeah, that's
15th,
not that far away, man. Yeah.
No, just a few weeks.
Yeah,
all right.
A few months,
well,
you mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, eight weeks.
All right.
Approximately.
A few. Several.
Yeah, a little more than a few. A bunch of weeks. How about that?
All right, there you go.
All right. Well, I think that wraps up all the news stories that we wanted to cover here for this week. Just as a reminder, make sure to check out our Patreon page at multiplayersquad.com. You can also follow us on socials everywhere at multiplayerpod. And we are all done for this week in gaming. We'll be back on Saturday for a quick take and then come join us again on Monday where we will deep dive Gotham Knights. Any closing remarks, guys, or are we about done to wrap this one up?
Check out the Atomic Heart trailer so you know why I'm hyped.
Yes, and you'll also see why Paul is not. Cheers, all.
Yeah. Happy gaming. We'll see you all next time.
All right, see everybody.